Now we continue with our sermons in the book of Proverbs, and if you would turn again this morning to chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, reading together again the whole of the chapter, but this week we're going to read the verses that we come to especially are verses 10 to 22, book of Proverbs chapter 2, and especially this morning verses 10 to the end of the chapter, but reading once more at the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they are froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Amen. This morning in our sermons in this book of Proverbs, we come back to this particular part of the book that so much sets out before us the benefits and the blessings of hearing God's word aright and holding God's word aright in our hearts and in our minds. It's that rightful reception of God's word, you remember, that we're pointed up to in those first few opening verses of the chapter, where the Lord tells us through Solomon, his servant, my son, he says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, and so on down to verse 4. And then following on from those opening verses, all of that promise that God holds out for us with regards to that right reception of his word and that right holding of his word in our hearts and our souls. Now, in our time together for last week, you remember, we began to look at two particular aspects of our Christian life where we can employ and enjoy those benefits and those blessings of hearing and holding God's word aright in our hearts and our minds. First of those, you remember, we said was with regards to that aspect of our life that's rightly called the warfaring aspect of our Christian lives, and then the other, that wayfaring aspect of our Christian lives. The Bible speaks about the Christian very often as being like a soldier who is engaged in a warfare, engaged in a battle in the midst of this world of ours. And the Bible also speaks very much about the Christian as a pilgrim, as a wayfaring man or a wayfaring woman, making their way through this world until they come to their desired destination at the end in the will and the purpose of Almighty God. And in those verses then that we began to look at last week from verse 6 to verse 8, it's both of those aspects then that are set out before us. Verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom, it says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He is a buckler, it says, to them that walk uprightly. And a buckler, you remember, is very simply a shield, a soldier's shield. And so when the Lord there promises that he will give wisdom out of his mouth, that is by his word and through his word, then the Lord promises to take that position towards us as being a shield and a buckler for us in our everyday Christian life. That is, being like the soldier's shield in the midst of the battle. God, by his word, becomes the shield and the buckler for us as we engage in that aspect of our life, which is that warfaring aspect of our lives. Remember the great New Testament passage that really sets that out before us in the Epistle to the Ephesians. And above all, says the Apostle Paul, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith is simply God's word, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And he's telling us then that just as that Roman soldier who had taken that great shield, that great buckler, and would have used it on top of all his armor, as it were, so the Christian is to take the word of God, wherewith, he says, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all doesn't mean in preference to everything else, but very simply, you'll recall, with all, in addition to everything else. That great Roman shield that the soldier used was the shield that he could hold out before him or turn round to the side of him or hoist up above his head in order to protect himself against the fiery darts of the enemy as they rained out against him. So says the Lord's Apostle by the Holy Spirit of God, in your Christian warfare, when you put on the whole armor of God, above all, he says, take with you the shield of the faith, the word of God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, always take that at heart, my friends, because remember, that's exactly what our Savior did. That's exactly what the captain of our salvation did. And as that old hymn says, as the master shall the servant be, and as the captain shall the private be. Let's not any of us ever think that we are ever going to conduct the warfare against the old enemy of our souls in any other way than Christ himself conducted that warfare. And as our Lord ever took the shield of the faith up in his hand in all his battles with the enemy, so we are to do exactly the same. So when we're thinking in terms of the benefits and the blessings that are to be derived from hearing God's word and holding God's word aright in our lives, then that promise stands sure that through the word and by the word, our God comes then as a shield and a buckler to us for all our warfare and for all our battles. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler. He is a shield to them that walk uprightly. The warfaring aspect of our Christian lives. Now, it's that other aspect then that we come to look at this morning more fully. We mentioned it in the passing last week because it is in that verse 8, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. And then in those verses that follow after that we read from this morning, from verse 10 to the end, you see there that those verses have all got to do with walking in right paths and avoiding crooked paths. They've all got to do with the wayfaring life with regards to guidance and preservation and all of those other things until, as I say, we come to that desired destination at the end. So it's very much then those benefits and those blessings that we're to draw from God's word in relation to our pilgrim life, in relation to our lives as Christian pilgrims in this world. And so we're going to look at those verses again with regards to the promise in general, then with the problems that we face, and then how we take on board those things that God grants for us in his word. Now, have a look at the promise then in general, as you might say, to begin with in verse 10. When wisdom entereth thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, and so on. You see what that promise consists of, really? It consists of things like preservation. We're going to be preserved, it says. We're going to be delivered. We're going to be kept. We're going to be upheld. as we walk in the way and avoid the wrong paths, all of these things are promised to us. Safe keeping, safe passage, safe guidance, right to the end. So it's very much a passage of God's word that's got to do with our pilgrimage, with our traveling through this world until we come to the end of this world. And of course, all of those things that are set out there by way of promise to us, all of those things really are set out before us in the light of our activity towards God's word and the activity of God's word in our hearts and our souls. See what it says there in verse 10. It says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Then, in fact, when these things become part and parcel of your life, then all of these other things that follow after, these things then become effectual in your lives. Wisdom and knowledge are simply synonyms for the word of God in the book of Proverbs. And there's no wisdom, there's no knowledge, there's nothing that we can have in the Christian life apart from what's granted to us and given to us in God's holy word. For the Lord giveth wisdom, you remember, out of his mouth, by his word, cometh knowledge and understanding. And it's the same process as we had in the first chapter, verses of the chapter. You remember, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee and so on, then verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's when we open up our hearts and our minds to receive God's word, then we know the benefits and the blessings of God's word rightly held, rightly heard in our hearts and in our souls. And it's exactly the same here. As the Lord has says, if thou wilt do this and this, then thou shalt have this and this. So the Lord, in fact, is saying here, when wisdom enters into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, then come all of these promises with regards to your pilgrim life, all of these promises of keeping grace and preserving grace and guiding grace. As we employ God's word aright in our lives, so we enjoy the benefits and the blessings of God's word to the full in our lives. And that's the promise. That's very simply, my friends, what the Lord is setting out before us. It's a precious promise and a gracious promise that the Lord grants to us. Now, if you begin to look at the problems involved, then you'll see how precious and how gracious that promise is to us. Verse 10 again. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. And then in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So there are a whole lot of impediments, you see, in the Christian path. There are a whole lot of obstacles. There are a whole lot of problems that confront us in the Christian life. And how then do we get around or over or by those problems and those obstacles and those impediments? Well, it's through God's word, you see, rightly held, rightly heard in our hearts and in our souls. And it's when this wisdom and knowledge and understanding that's ever ministered to us out of God's word is received and held aright in our hearts and our minds, then, my friends, all of those obstacles that we're confronted with, all of those things then are dealt with in our lives by the grace of God operating in our lives. You see that word for man in verse 12. You see, in fact, that it's in italics if you've got an authorized version of the Bible. Now, that's placed there for clarity, of course. But really, if you read it without the words in italics, then you really get a much stronger sense of the whole thing. To deliver thee from the way of the evil, it says. Not the evil man. But to deliver thee from the way of the evil, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil. You see, any evil, whatever evil it is that confronts you in the Christian way, here's the promise of the Lord. He says that his word held and heard in our lives, his word will preserve us from the evil. From the evil man, of course, that goes without saying, it's in the next verse. From the evil woman. But you see, from any evil, whatever evil presents itself to us, then the promise of God's word is that if we've got God's word rightly in our hearts and in our souls, we can confront that evil with that word, and by the grace of God, we can overcome that evil. That's not sinless perfectionism. Far from it, my friends. But it is assuredly the promise that God's word, held and heard rightly in our lives, is the God-given means and weapon for repelling the evil or overcoming the evil that lies before us. Now establish that. Take that great high priestly prayer that our Savior prayed, John chapter 17, you remember, in the upper room. You recall how the Lord's praying for the disciples there. And he's praying very specifically for his own disciples. And he prays these words. He says, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil world, the evil one, the evil person, the evil thing. Whatever the evil is, says the Lord, Father, he says, I'm praying for these my children, that thou will keep them from the evil that's in the world and abounds in the world. They weren't to be taken out of the world in that sense that they were suddenly converted and whisked off to heaven. No, they're to travel through the world. That's part of the normal Christian calling that the Lord calls us to. We travel through this world. In fact, the Lord says one of the reasons why they're not to be taken out of the world. Neither pray I for these alone, he says, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word. They're left in the world to evangelize the world, to witness to the world, to be a testimony to the world. And as long as they're in the world, says the Lord, I'm praying for them not to be taken out of the world, but to be kept from the evil. Now how? How are they to be kept from the evil? And the Lord, in fact, in that prayer goes on to tell us precisely how we're kept from the evil as we're in this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. How are we kept? How are we preserved? How are we led? How are we guided? How do we overcome every obstacle that confronts us? My friends, by the word of God. The word of God is God's sanctifying agent in our lives. It's the thing that sets us aside, that separates us, that keeps us, that preserves us. And as our Savior prays for his people directly there, those disciples, that they will be kept for as long as they are left in this world, then the way that they're going to be kept in the world is by his word. And when it comes, my friends, to confronting the evil in this world, the way that we confront and overcome that evil in the world as it comes out against us is by the word of God. You know the old formula, that sin will keep us from this word, or this word will keep us from sin. It's one or the other. And my friends, God gives us his word in order that his word might keep us from the evil, preserve us from the evil, get us past the evil. And if we use it in that way, then God's promise holds sure. If we don't hold it in that way, then we run into all kinds of difficulties continuously in our hearts and in our souls. So the Lord holds out a promise towards us. A promise indeed, my friends, for the overcoming of all of those problematic things that confront us in this life. And when they come up against us, the weapon that God grants us to counter these things is the weapon, is the agency of his holy word. Now let's look at those two specific areas just a wee bit more closely. Those two specific stumbling blocks, as you might say. The evil man on the one hand and the strange woman on the other. Let me say this. You can really employ dear old Mr. John Bunyan to the full in both of these figures that's set out before us. Now, the evil man, according to our verses, is the man who speaks froward things. That means simply he speaks twisted things, perverse things, evil things. And then all the rest that follows on. He delights in crooked ways and everything else. Now, there's two ways of looking at that. You can take it right to the extreme, to all the extremes of evil. And in these days in which we live, I don't suppose we need to be instructed very much that there's an awful lot of evil in this world. All the perverse actions and crooked actions and evil worlds and all the rest of it. All the things that God's people have to be kept from, my friends, as they blatantly come up against us. But you see, in a sense, now say that guardedly, but in a sense, my friends, those things sometimes can be so blatant and so evil for God's people. That if the life of God is in a man or a woman or a young person's soul, then that very life of God will produce a kind of spiritually automatic switching off from many of those blatantly evil things. Now, we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful for every abhorrence that rises up in our hearts and our souls to those things so blatantly evil. At the same time, my friends, that doesn't mean that we can't become tainted with them. Of course not. And isn't it one of the sad things just how much we can become conditioned in our hearts and our souls? But at the same time, we can be thankful to God that there is still that measure of automatic spiritual switching off to the evil, to the crooked, to the filthy, to the pit that's presented towards us so often in our lives today. But a more subtle side than that, when the God's word here tells us that this evil man is the man who speaks froward things, indeed it is twisted things that he speaks. So this evil man that we have to are presented with and have to overcome in this world, he's a man who is characterized by taking right things and good things and twisting them all up, you see, so as they're presented to us as evil things and wrong things and things that we ought to turn away from. Now, I mentioned Mr. Bunyan. And Mr. Bunyan's got many characters, of course, characteristics of the Christian life. And he's got one great character called Mr. Faithful. And at one point in his life, Mr. Faithful, he was full of God's word, you see. So he was full of faith. And he was going through the valley of humility, and he meets with a character whom he says almost beat him off from the Christian pathway. That character's name was Shame. Shame. It was a character that came out against him and made him feel almost ashamed to be a pilgrim. And you see, he began to speak to him. And as Shame began to speak to Faithful in the Valley of Humility, he took all kinds of words and he twisted them in all kinds of different directions. So that Faithful eventually tells his traveling companion, yea, he so put me to it, he says, that the blood came up in my face, even this Shame fetched it up and had almost beat me quite off. He was the one. Out of all the characters that Faithful had to confront, Shame was the one that almost put him off the pilgrim path. And now you see, my friends, when the world comes at us, or the men of this world comes at us, and twists up standards, and all of these various things, what happens so often is that things become twisted in our minds. We're not really sure whether we should be on the Christian pathway at all. We're almost beaten quite off. As I say, the way that Faithful overcomes is by the word of God held dear in his heart and in his soul. Now, you see, in fact, the strange woman is that same kind of picture. Because, of course, it's all got to do with allurement and enticement and temptation and all of these other things. Solomon's strange woman is simply a prostitute, a whore, a harlot. And so she stands in that picture that he gives to us, standing at the door of her house, you see, inviting the wayfaring man to come into her house. And what it's really a picture of, my friends, is a picture of this whole world in all her attire and in all her behavior towards the Lord's people. Again, get that lovely picture of the world that Mr. Bunyan draws, of that great swarthy dame, as he calls her, whom he names Madam Bubble. Tremendous picture. And you get Madam Bubble, it says, and she stands there before the pilgrim, fingering her purse. And he says, in fact, although she was old, she was dressed in very pleasant attire, and she offered me three things, to wit, her body, her purse, and her bed. The strange woman, you see, in Solomon's words, spiritually to our hearts and our souls, my friends, it's the world. It's the world in all her whoredom, the world in all her temptation, the world in all her enticement, the world fingering her purse, the world enticing us to her body and her bed. All of that is the world. How are we kept from the world, my friends? We are kept from the world by the grace of God ministered to us out of his word. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. See something about the strange woman, or about the strange woman's house, really, that we're told about in verse 18. It says, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. And then in verse 19, none that go on to her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. In other words, the path to the world's house runs downward. You see, it's all a downward path there. And in fact, it says if you go right down into that world, then you'll never come up whole out of it again. Now, I trust we know this, my friends, that just as in nature there's a law of gravity, so in spiritual things there's a law of gravity. And unless God's people are thrusting upward by the power and the grace that God grants us out of his word, we're going to fall backward. As surely, my friends, as those rockets that take off time and time again, unless there's enough thrust to get them away from the gravitational pull, then there's going to be a falling back. And in the Christian life, my friends, we need continuously all the thrust of God's word to keep us away from falling back into the things of this present evil world. You know, there's what you might almost call a strange phenomenon in God's word. You ever notice this? You never ever read in God's word about anybody going down to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holy city, of course. But you never ever read, so far as I know, you never ever read of anybody going down to Jerusalem. Everybody went up to Jerusalem. Didn't matter if they were coming from the north or the south or the east or the west, they all went up to Jerusalem. I joyed when to the house of God, go up, they said to me, Jerusalem within thy gates, our feet shall standing be. Damascus, you remember, was north of Jerusalem, but we're told that Paul went down to Damascus to persecute the church. Nobody ever went down to Jerusalem. Everybody went up to Jerusalem. Now, geography, latitude, any of these things, my friends, you see how significant that is. That really, we always go up to the things of God. And if we're not going up to the things of God, we're coming down from the things of God. And this harlot's house, the world's house, if you like, is a path that leads downward and downward until if it's taken, then who knows if it's ever returned from again. So the evil man, the strange woman that would beset us in the path, and again, you see, as I say, with regards to both, they both require that activity of the word of Almighty God in our souls. You see, in that verse 17, in fact, Solomon tells us something about that woman that ought to be significant to us all. He says she is one which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She was a Jewess. She was a Hebrew woman that he's writing about. And because she was a Jewess and a Hebrew woman then, she was under the terms of that old covenant that God had made with the Jewish nation. And also, of course, more importantly of all, she had God's word, the guide of her youth, the thing that was given to her. But you see, she didn't use the guide of her youth. Now, some of you young people, are you using the Bible in your life? See how she contrasts with Timothy. Remember what was said with about Timothy, from a youth, it says, from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And the difference between Timothy and this woman, they both had that which was to guide them and lead them to God. Timothy used that, and this woman didn't. And because that woman didn't use that thing that God had given to lead her in a right way, she ended up in the wrong way. She forsook the guide of her youth. She overturned the covenant of her God. But you see, my friend, it's held out clearly for us and directly for us in God's word that there is a promise, but the promise is to be held to, and the promise is to be received. Now let me take and divide us up this morning. Congregation, converted or unconverted. Word of God makes it very, very clear that we're either God's children or we're the devil's children. We're either converted or we're not converted. We're either on our way to heaven or we're on our way to hell forever and ever. You see those last couple of verses then of the chapter in verse 21 and 22. Says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Now, there are many, many divisions in the book of Proverbs, those either-or situations. And you see, we either belong to one party, or we belong to the other. And says the word of God here, there are those indeed that take God's word into their heart and their soul, and they, by that word, they live in the land and dwell in the land. But there are others, he says, and they shall be rooted out of the land. You take the word of God, and it's full of those kind of things. Wisdom and foolishness are two things that are set before us continuously in the word of God. You remember those young maidens that the Lord tells about who were waiting for their Lord's return at the marriage feast. And he says some were wise and some were foolish. That's all. Some were ready to meet him when he came. Some weren't. You remember the two men that built two houses. One was wise. One was foolish. One built his house in a rock and it stood. The other built his house in sand and it fell. And with regards to this, my friends, we are either wise and remain with the Lord forever and ever, or we are foolish and we are rooted out of the Lord's presence for all eternity. And everything that's set before us then is set before us in the light of how we hear and hold God's word aright in our hearts and in our souls. And a final point then, with regards to that right holding and hearing of God's word. You see, my friends, if God's word really is to be our guide and protector and preserver and all the rest of it, then there's the question of what you might call access with regards to God's word and the question of attitude with regards to God's word. Now look at that verse 10, which is really the anchor for everything else. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, it says, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Then, as I say, all of these other things follow on in the course of our wayfaring life, in the course of our pilgrim life. But it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, so this wisdom of the word of God that God grants to us through his word, it has to find an entrance. It has to find access into our hearts and our souls. You know what David says in one of his great psalms, he says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And what we need, you see, to walk in the right path, to follow the Christian pilgrimage, we need light for our path. We need a lamp for our feet. And the light for our path and the lamp for our feet is God's holy word. And it's God's holy word received into us, because in us there is no light by nature nor by practice. And what we need in our souls continuously is the entrance of God's Word to give us the light, the very light that will shine out of our eyes, that will lighten up the path that we're to travel to take us to God. So it's not simply God's Word, you see, held in some kind of an isolated position from us. Indeed, no. It's God's Word, my friends, with our hearts and our minds and our souls opened up for the entrance of God's Word into our lives to guide us in that way that it directs us, not in the way that we imagine we want to go, but in the way that it directs us to go. Then, my friends, we are hearing and holding God's Word aright when we have our hearts and our souls open to the access to the entrance of God's Word into our never-dying souls forever. That being the case, you see why the devil so much strives against God's Word getting into our hearts and our souls. That parable of the sower, the seed's good seed, but down comes the devil, down comes the fowl of the air, and swoops away the seed, lest it finds an entrance. And what's required then is that prepared soil to receive that word and the production of that seed 30, 60, 100-fold to the praise of God's name. And it's only as God's word finds the entrance into our hearts that we walk aright and see where we're going in this life and are not deviated off the path by the devil nor any of the agents of the devil, either the evil man or the evil thing or the strange woman, whatever the case might be. You see, I get awful nervous when I hear Christians using expressions like this, well, using them in isolation. Experience is a great teacher. Rubbish. Rubbish. Experience isn't a great teacher at all, my friends. Unless experience is brought to the light of God's Word, or the light of God's Word, rather, brought to our experience. And it's God's Word and experience only in the light of God's Word that ever teaches us anything aright with regards to this life. Take the issue of sorrow or bereavement. My friends, when sorrow comes to a person's heart or mind, it can break them up, and they experience that breaking up process. But unless God's word is sown into that broken up soil, that soil is as barren and unfruitful as ever it was. It's broken up soil, but it's not productive soil. And every experience of this life that God pleases to bring his people through, those experiences are to be taken and seen in the light of God's word. And only in that way then, my friends, does that word really become a path to us. And that experience is used as a guide to us under that word to take us on in our life. Always access to God's word for our hearts and our souls. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, that's the point. And the word of God must find an entry into our hearts. Now, the other thing you see in that anchor verse is this, that there has to be an attitude with regards to that word as well. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. You see, there's a lodging place for wisdom and knowledge and understanding for God's word. And it's the heart and the souls of God's people. And there is an attitude that's requisite for the receiving of that word. And that attitude, my friends, is an attitude of pleasure and pleasantness with regards to God's word. You see that? When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge, that's the knowledge of God's word, is pleasant unto thy soul. And you see, what we need, if ever we're going to benefit aright from God's word, or know the blessing aright of God's word, we're ever going to need that right attitude towards God's word. If you read on in Proverbs, and no doubt Solomon was echoing the words of his father David, he describes the word of God as honey. Doesn't David do that time and time again in the book of Psalms? Thy word is like honey to my mouth. Remember what Peter says when he exhorts us to desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If he says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And of course, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious and the graciousness of God's word, then you're going to desire the sincere milk off that word that you may grow thereby. And you see, there is always that attitude that is required from us throughout the whole of our Christian life, because this reception of God's word and knowledge of God's word, my friends, it's not some cold, intellectual, indifferent thing. It's a heart thing. It's a warm thing. And it's a thing that's to warm our hearts and souls, and that we're to be warmed to in our hearts and in our souls. So when that word, you see, really, when that word becomes enjoyable to us, then that word becomes effective to us in the course of our everyday Christian life. You remember, with regards to the armor, isn't it the question of attitude? Here's the whole armor of God's provided for us in the Christian warfare. The shoes and the shield and all the rest of it, all provided for us. You remember how the Lord's apostle starts? He doesn't start with the armor. He starts with the attitude that the soldier ought to have with the armor. Finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And you see, first of all, the soldier has to have a right attitude towards the armor. Or he'll never wear it. He'll never fight in it. And the attitude that the soldier has to have towards the armor is an attitude of total trust in the armor. It's God's armor. It's God's prescribed weaponry for the fight. And only as the soldier has total trust in the armor, so will he gladly put on the whole of the armor. And you see, for the traveler, for the wayfaring man, again, it's the question of attitude, my friends. Because really, it's only when we delight in the signposts that God gives us for the road, and only when we delight in the lamp that God gives to light up the path, then, you see, will we take and use those things aright in our wayfaring lives. So always the heart, and it's always back to that attitude that we have towards God's word. Not some fossilized thing in our hearts and our souls, but the very thing which entrance of it gives life and light to our never-dying souls. And so it's that. And as I say, continuously throughout God's word, that's the question. Remember Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord, he said, is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Remember what Paul says when he wishes that joy and peace in believing. Get what God has said around you, rejoice in it, joy in it, and then you will know the peace of it in your soul as you continue on that Christian path. That great passage in Philippians, and you recall how Paul's speaking about the battle there indeed and how it has to be fought and all the rest of it. And then he comes to what you would say that very pleasant word with regards to the word of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and on and on and on, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You see, you've got God's word. Now, how do you view God's word? View God's word as a very pleasant thing, as a very pleasurable thing. In the warfare, when we're confronted with the fear of man in the battle, how do we overcome the fear of man in the battle? By the fear of God. The fear of God is the only thing that will ever overcome the fear of man in the Christian's battle. When we're confronted with all the pleasures and the pleasant things of this evil world, now not the legitimate things, but those wrongful pleasures and pleasant things that the world would set out before us. How do you overcome those things, my friends? By the pleasures and the pleasant things of the Lord our God. And when the Lord gives us his word, he gives us his word indeed for all our warfaring life, for all our wayfaring life. He gives it to lead us onto eternal day. But as I say, always that attitude towards it, always that opening up of our hearts and our souls to receive it, and always then that turning of our hearts to see the pleasant ways of the Lord our God and to walk in them. So the Lord does present us with benefits and with blessings in hearing and holding his word aright to our souls. And may we do it. May the Lord grant us grace to that end.